King's 13 to see more of what's happening here, as we just had an excerpt there beautifully read by Dr. Xander Carey. Now, in 1 Kings 12, Jeroboam is made king over all Israel, and he does some dodgy stuff. He gets these calves put out and forbidden shrines all over the place, and he's encouraging the people to worship false gods. So we see at the start of this chapter that we're looking at, 1 Kings 13, that this holy man comes from Judah by God's command and preaches. These were God's orders to the altar where Jeroboam is about to give an offering. And Jeroboam reaches his arm out and it's paralyzed. And at the same time, the altar broke apart and the holy offerings all spilled into the dirt, which is the very sign that the holy man announced by God's command. Thank you, yeah. Just switched mics now. So verse 6, the king pleaded with the holy man, "Help me, pray to your God for the healing of my arm," because as I just said, his arm had been paralysed. And the holy man prays for him and the king's arm is healed and it's as good as new. And then we get to this verse 7, the king says to the holy man, "Join me for a meal, I have a gift for you." But the holy man responds and says, "Not on your life." This is quite a clear, strong response, isn't it? "You couldn't pay me enough to get me to sit down with you at a meal in this place. I'm here under God's orders, and he commanded, don't eat a crumb, don't drink a drop, and don't go back the way you came." Then he left by a different road, by the one that he had walked to Bethel. So the holy man is following God's commands. Now we get to verse 11 and we read that there's an old prophet who lives in Bethel, and he hears about what's happened and he asks what the holy man has said to the king, and he wants to know which way this guy's gone. So his sons point out the road, and this prophet, he finds the holy man sitting under an oak tree, and we read that this holy man ends up going back to the old prophet's home and they have a meal there together. Now let's just look at these different responses. Because the first time that he's invited for a meal by the king, the holy man declines. He knows his mission, he's focused, he recognizes what God has asked of him. But later on, verse 19, so the holy man went home with him and they had a meal together. Later on, it's a completely different story. Why is that? Why is it that he's so clear at the start on God's instruction, and then this changes and the holy man just goes and has this meal with basically this stranger when God has said to him, don't eat a crumb, don't drink a drop, and don't go back the way you came? Now the prophet who wants to get the holy man to come back for lunch or a meal finds the holy man sat under an oak tree. Now perhaps the holy man has stopped and sat under that tree there because he's just shattered. He's been on this journey, he's been doing this job, he might feel weak and perhaps very hungry at this point, undoubtedly more tired and hungry than back when the king invited him, when he received that first invitation, and we see that really clear response where he says, not on your life. Perhaps we could say that the holy man is a little bit more vulnerable to deception at this point, and perhaps more easily tempted. Verse 18 to 19, the prophet said, I am also a prophet, just like you. And an angel came to me with a message from God. Bring him home with you and give him a good meal. But the man was lying. Now there are some steps of deception that take place here. The first one that we see is he identifies with the holy man. I am also a prophet, just like you. Now, this guy is a prophet, we read, but he's not clearly not the same kind of prophet as the holy man at all. He's lying. How many of us know that appearances can be deceptive? Things are not always as they appear or as they are presented to us. Now, prophets had a lonely job. So for this man of God, perhaps this was encouraging for him, and he thought, I'm not on my own. It's a prophet just like me. This is someone who understands me, understands what my life is like. He's also a man who hears from God. He may have even thought, oh, perhaps God's brought this man into my path. But perhaps this prophet who is deceiving the holy man, perhaps he knows that it will help to persuade him to come for a meal by using his loneliness. And the enemy, evil influences, will try and do that. Pastor Steve spoke to us not so long ago about spiritual warfare and the good and the bad at work. The enemy wants to deceive us, and the devil is always scheming. 1 Peter 5:8. Be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Now, this isn't to make us afraid, because how many of you know we have nothing to fear? Colossians 1:13, we've been rescued from the dominion of darkness. And Colossians 2:15, we need not fear evil, we need not fear the roar of the enemy. But let's be reminded to exercise wisdom, to be aware of some of the strategies of the enemy, some of the ways in which he may try to deceive us, and some of the ways in which we can ensure that we do not go off the track that God has laid out for us. Let's keep our guard up and not allow the enemy in. You see, the holy man starts off great, but the path he ends up going down leads to death. Don't let the enemy use times of loneliness or feelings of loneliness to mislead you or lead you down a path which will ultimately lead to death. So, what do we do? Well, perhaps we need to check in with ourselves and have that self-awareness and recognize when we are weak and tired and when we just need to be a little bit more careful about who and what we are listening to. Who we are letting in our lives. Recognizing, perhaps I just need to go to a prayer meeting this week. Perhaps I need to surround myself with some good believers. Perhaps I need to speak to someone about this with a trustworthy believer. Perhaps they can tell me what they see, because sometimes we don't always see clearly when we're tired, when we're weary, when we're weak. We don't always have a clear perspective. And that's why we've heard it already earlier this morning. We help one another, don't we? And sometimes we need to just chat. And you know, you can speak to Pastor Steve and myself and the leaders and say, you know, am I actually seeing clearly here? And pray that God will help you to see things as they really are and not just the things that we want to see. We must keep our guard up. Guard our mind, our hearts, our ears, what we're listening to. Whether we are feeling strong or weak, we need to keep our guard up and ask God for discernment. Here's the next thing, the next step of deception that takes place here. This guy, he describes a grand event or experience that he has had. And he says, and an angel came to me with a message from God. Now, perhaps he's just making this up. But there is this idea that perhaps this was true, and perhaps this was a deceiving angel that had appeared to this guy. Satan and his messengers can appear as angels of light. 2 Corinthians 11:14, we know the devil comes in disguise. Perhaps as we consider that idea for a moment, it is a reminder to us that actually there are times when others are under evil influences without them realizing it. And we have to be careful not to be misled by them and end up caught up in those evil influences ourselves. Sometimes in life, there may be people that are under evil influences that genuinely believe that what they've been told, that what they believe is the truth, like the flat earth believer. But they've been deceived, and we must make sure that we are the salt and light, that we bring out the God colours and the God flavours. The devil may be telling you some lies, things that are simply not the reality, stuff that is just made up. Sometimes we see this. There are con men who make things up to create this amazing persona, or to create a certain image. Now, I'm not telling us to be cynical, but I'm telling us that it's okay to use critical thinking, and it's good to ask God for clarity, and it's good to ask God to help us to see things as they are, to help us to see things clearly. And this is why it's so important that we have the Word of God in us in the first place, that we have His truth in us, and that we stand firm. Ephesians 6:14, stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist. Perhaps the holy man straight away believes what this guy has told him must be true. We know that this prophet from Bethel is older. He's described as an old prophet in verse 11. So perhaps the holy man is fooled for a moment into thinking, well, he's older than me, so therefore he knows better, and he must be right, I must be wrong, I must be the one in the wrong. Just because there is this other experience or something else that someone is saying, does it change God's commands to me? Third step of deception here. The man claims to speak for God. And an angel came to me with a message from God. God says, bring him home with you and give him a good meal. And he's kind of establishing a level of superiority here, isn't he? Like, I've got the latest update concerning you. You received those instructions from God, but this is what God has said to me now. Now, I know what God is saying for you, but you don't really know. You don't have the latest update. Church, we need to be confident in God's word and what God has said to us, because the enemy will try to shake our confidence. How many of you here today can rejoice because we're still here? Yeah. We're still standing. The enemy has tried to shake our confidence, but he has not succeeded, and he will not succeed, because we will keep on standing firm. So what do? We talk to God. We say, God, what are you saying to me right now? It sounds convincing, but is this really what you're saying? Does this other thing that I'm being told match up with what your word says? We don't see the holy man saying now, I'm under strict orders from God. Don't eat a crumb, don't drink a drop, and don't go back the way you came. How differently things may have gone for him if he had held on to what God had told him personally, rather than going with this lie. We need to hold on to what God has spoken to us, to his word. We've heard that already earlier this morning about holding on, because the enemy will always have something different to say. Here's a practical idea. I do this, and for me, it really helps me. It might help you to write things down. I keep a journal, and I keep a journal of encouraging words that people give me. And every time the enemy tries to discourage me, I can pick up this journal and book and look at some of the words and things that God has spoken over my life. These are things that we can do. We can put up things around our home with the word of God just to remind us, to keep it in our heads what God has actually said. We hold on to the word of God. Why? I'm trying to fight with a sword because it's the sword of the Spirit. It's our indispensable weapon. We hold on to the word of God so that we can fight against the enemy's schemes, so that we are not deceived. So when we have doubts or times of confusion, because we may all face times of confusion at times, we may all have doubts at times, but do you know the wonderful thing? We can take it to God. Let me tell you something, God's not going to love you any less because you have questions, because you are feeling confused. Bring it to God and go back to his word. Keep talking to him. Sadly, we don't see the holy man doing this at this point. Could it be that the holy man is led by his belly here? That he just accepts what he's been told at this point, that he goes with the lie because actually he's just so hungry and he wants some food? Could it be that he believes this guy, he chooses to believe this lie because actually that's what he wants to believe, that's what he wants to be true, rather than the actual reality? Let's not be led by our bellies, but let's be led by the word of God, yeah, by his commands, his instructions, because they are there for our protection, so that we're not led to a way that ends up in death. Yeah. It's almost like the prophet is saying, well, has God really said you can't eat? Because God just told me that you can come back for a meal. Does this remind you of anything?
Yeah.
Did God really say?
Yeah.
The serpent in Genesis 3:3, he said to the woman, did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden? The enemy tries to get us to question what God has said to us. Now, we know that Eve received the instruction from Adam rather than God directly, and that's another conversation that we could have. But Satan tries to make us confused about what God has said, to sow a seed of confusion, of doubt, to get us to doubt God's commands and instruction to us, even perhaps to question or doubt why they are there. But here's the thing, the sad story that we all know, that Eve actually engages with the serpent and listens, gives attention to what the devil says, allows the devil to influence her thought process, her decision making. The holy man, after he said no, and he said he's not going for a meal with this guy, he then allows there to be this conversation that takes place, rather than just having said no the first time, no, ta-ra, mate, and legging it back home and just ignoring this guy. Instead, he could have done that. He could have said, this is getting a bit silly now, I just need to remain focused. I'm going to just remember what God has said to me, what he has asked me to do, and be on my way. But he listens. He gives this prophet ear space, head space. What are we allowing to speak to us? Are there influences that actually we just need to cut off? We just need to walk away from? We just need to shut off? And we just need to say, that's the end of the matter. I'm not even going to get any discussion about it. I'm not even going to listen. This is what God's word says, and this is what I fix my mind on. The enemy lies to us, but we must remember what the word of God says. Do not entertain the lies of the enemy. Let's not give him another second, another moment of our time. Why? Because it doesn't lead us to a good place. Just like this scenario here, it's not good. The holy man listens to the prophet, gives him his time, even though he's already said no, and look where it leads, to death. When we phone our friends or speak to our friends about the choices that we're going to make, are we just chatting or giving attention to the ones that will give us the answers that we want to hear? I've seen this so many times over the years. I've seen people go with the answers from friends that they wanted to hear, or surround themselves with people that agree with them or justify the route that they want to take when it is not what God has said. We read about this later on in 1 Kings, in 1 Kings 20, where Ahab wanted prophets who would just go with whatever he wanted. He just basically had a bunch of sycophants or yes men around him. And we can see this today in some forms of leadership, can't we? Not just in some churches that go wrong, but in politics, in some countries at the moment, where there are yes men, people who will just say yes, leaders who have boards or teams, who just want everyone to say yes to everything that they think and just say everything that they want to hear. And nobody dares disagree. It's a very unhealthy, dangerous form of leadership. Sometimes we may even look for or find ways to try and justify a route or justify something that we want, which we know may well not be the route God wants us to take. Verse 33. After this happened, Jeroboam kept right on doing evil, recruiting priests for the forbidden shrines indiscriminately. Anyone who wanted to could be a priest at one of the local shrines. This was the root sin of Jeroboam's government, and it was this that ruined him. Do you know what I think is the sad thing here? Is the holy man was from Judah. Now this means that there were probably no suitable messengers within the northern kingdom of Israel that God could assign this task to, which shows the sad state in which Jeroboam's kingdom was in. But the prophet now was gone. He wasn't there anymore to go back and deliver the word of God, to perhaps make a change so that things didn't continue in the way they were continuing. Church, let's be determined not to allow that to happen to us. Not to become so deceived that we discard what God has said to us and become unable to fulfill our purpose. This holy man of God, he's not named, he's not famous, but he had an important and significant role to play. So all of us have an important and significant role to play, and we need to keep watch. I was so encouraged last night at the Mark's Gospel with Reverend Ian Birkinshaw, and he reminded us of those words to keep watch in Mark 13:35. Sometimes we may be convinced by another voice around us, but let's listen to God's voice and his guidance over anything else. Let's pray that we hear God's voice above any other voice that may be trying to influence us. And let's pray for one another. We've heard that again earlier today. Ephesians 6:18. In the same way, prayer is essential in this ongoing warfare. Pray hard and long. Pray for your brothers and sisters. Keep your eyes open. Keep each other's spirits up so that no one falls behind or drops out. I want to encourage you that if you're in here today or if you're listening online and you've gone off track, there's still time to turn around, to get onto the path that leads to life and not to death. Perhaps you're in here today or listening online and you've just gone a little off track. Perhaps you've gone way off in a different direction to what God has said. But God has open arms for you. It's not too late to turn around now. It's not too late to come back to his word. Let's pray. Lord, help us not to be led by our bellies, but by the word of God. Help us to see things as they really are. Help us to stand firm on the truth of your word and to fulfill the purpose that you have for us. We thank you for your grace and mercy, that you always have open arms. Lord, we thank you that you always love us and remain with us. Amen.
Amen.
Let's just reach our hands out over one another now, and we're just going to have a minute or so of just praying for one another, praying that God would encourage each one of us, that we would see clearly, that we would not be deceived by the enemy's lies. I said to June earlier this morning, the enemy's tried to get her down this week, but he has not succeeded. So let's just pray a blessing over one another and just receive some strength from the Lord now.
God, we just speak your strength over one another. Lord, help us to keep your word in the forefront of our hearts and minds. We thank you that your word is our indispensable weapon. Lord, we will keep praying. We will keep pushing forward. We will stand firm. Lord, we thank you for that word we've received today. We choose to stand firm. And Lord, we pray for one another, Lord, that you would strengthen us as a church, that we would stand firm. Lord, we pray for all our brothers and sisters, Lord, that you would encourage them. Amen.